Today we'll be reading from Romans 6, verses 15 to 23. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Lord, as we open up your word this morning, I pray that you'll open up our hearts and speak with your Holy Spirit to guide us into your truth. I know we come to your word with all sorts of questions, all sorts of issues in our lives that we don't understand. And we need your grace, we need your mercy, and we need your wisdom to navigate your truth and to apply it to our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to everyone here, that you will encourage their hearts in their struggle in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a young kid, I was mesmerized with the little caterpillars crawling around, and I knew my science teaching that turned into a cocoon and then it would turn into a butterfly. So I tried several times to, I found a cocoon and I put it in a jar and put some leaves and grass in there and waited a day or two. I just didn't have enough patience. So I went in there and I crunched it open and it didn't quite work and didn't ever get a butterfly. I just never had the patience to wait for that butterfly to work its wings and to crack a little hole in that cocoon and force its way out, which is the only way that it could develop its wings so that it could fly once it come out of the cocoon. I couldn't wait. And I ended up shortening the life of any butterfly that I put my hands on. Metamorphosis. That's what we call it. Metamorphosis. Paul has been writing in Romans chapter 1 through 5 about justification. We are justified with God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't work for it. We don't earn it. We are justified by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith into Him, we are justified just as if we had never sinned. He gives us new life. He forgives our sins. And we're made right with God that very instant we put our faith into Him. Now, Paul turns the corner in chapter 6. We had one message, the first 14 verses last week. He turns the corner from justification now to sanctification, this big, long word that theologians use a lot. But really, it means simply that metamorphosis, well, that's another big word, but we kind of know what that means, that struggle of transformation into spiritual maturity, into Christ-likeness, where God works out the impurities in our life to make us become more like Him, so that we reflect His image, the way He created us to be in the first place. But sin has done so much damage in our lives. So Paul turns to this process of sanctification. Sanctification begins with our justification. That is the starting point of sanctification. And it begins and it continues on through the rest of our life until we see Jesus face to face, whether by death or by His return. Then we'll be transformed into His likeness completely, just like that butterfly when he takes off. So at this point in Romans chapter 6, verse 15, Paul says that having been freed from the enslavement of sin through faith in Christ, we are now free. We are now free to serve God with our lives. And he turns to the process of refinement, the refinement process that takes place in our lives as we choose to follow Jesus Christ. And this process, again, it's called sanctification. Being made holy or pure. So Paul asks the question right after verse 14. I'll read verse 14 to kind of give us a context a little bit again. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, so therefore, since God's grace has set us free from the law, God has met the requirements of the law, we no longer have to worry about meeting the requirements of the law. We've been freed from that load and that burden. Isn't that awesome? Paul is saying, well, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning?
No.
One person got remembered from last week. Very similar question as verse 1. Paul is saying, should we go on sinning since we can? The Greek word is megetomai. Por supuesto que no, something like that. What's the low German for never? Say it out loud.
Nine.
Nine. Is that right? Is that close? That's what he said anyway. Oh man, we got several other languages not here today, but we'll pass on those. But it by no means should we go on sinning. Simply because we have the freedom to now. We don't have to worry about the law condemning us. So that means we can live without the law, right? No, never. Should never be that way. That should never happen. It's unthinkable. That's what Paul's response is. Verse 16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whoever you choose to obey? We become slaves to whoever we choose to obey. We become property of whoever we choose to obey. We are bound to do whatever our master, the master we choose, wants us to do. Verse 19 gives the same indication that it's our choice. Previously, previously you let, verse 19, where is that there? Previously you let yourselves be slaves to impurity. You let, that's you doing it. That's me doing it. And then later on in that verse, now you must give yourself. It's our choice. We do the choosing in this situation to be a servant of sin or to be a servant of God. We are slaves to whoever we choose to obey. So the first point there, serving sin results in reaping of death. There's several verses that I want to point out, some of those points that are the result of serving sin. Verse 16, obeying our sin leads to desires that leads to death, that lead to death. Verse 19, it leads to impurity and lawlessness. The word for impurity is has sexual connotations, sexual deviancy and sexual sins, sensuality and lawlessness, defiance of the law, disregard for what is right. That's what sin leads to when we serve sin. And it digs us a deeper hole of sin. The more we sin, the more we yield to what the sinful desires in our lives. We get deeper and deeper every time we choose to serve sin. We dig a deeper hole for ourselves. Sin breeds sin. Verse 20, there's an interesting dynamic here. He says we are freed from the obligation. When we are serving sin, we are freed from the obligation to do what is right. Wow. That's kind of a weird dynamic there. But before we came to Christ, we weren't under obligation to do right. We just did what we wanted to do. That was our sin nature driving us. And we simply obeyed it. And this kind of action, this kind of servanthood leads us to do some pretty embarrassing things. Add verse 21 into there as well, verse 21. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. Man, I wish I could go back and relive some of those days. I wish I could go back yesterday and relive some of those moments. Sin never leads us to anything that we can be proud of. Sin always takes us further than we want to go and keeps us longer than we want to stay and costs us more than we ever want to pay. Sin robs us of life and leads us. Verse 23, the wages of sin is death. That's where sin, the master of sin, takes us. But if we serve God, look at the flip side on this, we reap godly character, our holiness. Look at verse 16. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Righteous living is godly character, living the right way, living in a way that honors God. When we choose to obey God, it leads to righteous living. It leads to godly character. And in verse 17, thank God you were once slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching which we have given you. When we surrender our heart to the good news of Jesus Christ, our new master, the more we surrender to him, the more we become like Christ. The more we obey him, the more our lives become like him. There's a process that takes place here, and it's a struggle. The more we obey, the more we choose to follow him, the more our lives become refined and resemble Christ's likeness. Verse 18, we were freed. Once we choose to serve God, we were freed from our slavery to sin. and now we have become slaves of righteous living. Servants of God, serving Him, doing what He asks us to do. This is the process of sanctification that it's mentioned in verse 19. It says that you will become holy, slaves to righteous living, so that you'll become holy. The word is sanctification there again. To be set apart, to be made distinct from others who are not following God. Distinct from those serving sin. Your lives should be dedicated and devoted to God, reflecting His holiness, possessing godly character, morally pure. Those are words that mean sanctification, being set apart. It's a process that begins the moment we are justified. God begins to work in us His salvation. He begins to work out that salvation in our lives. Philippians 1:6, Paul writes, "I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." When we surrender to God's leading, when we choose to serve Him, it leads to holiness, sanctification. Verse 22, again, the word sanctification comes up. We're set apart. This road leads. This is the road that leads to eternal life. Are you on that road? If you've been justified with Christ through faith, you are on that road. And this is a road that it's hard to stay on. It's hard to stay with Christ in these struggles. It's a struggle to yield to Him at times. But the results are well worth it. Verse 23, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So who are you serving? Who are you serving? Paul commended them for choosing to turn away from their sin and obey Christ's teaching. He said, "You wholeheartedly are serving Him." The connotation is it's a heart change, inner decision to serve Christ. It's not just an outward reflection. Oh, I'm doing all these things. No, it's a heart change that brings about Christ as our master. There's a real change that takes place when our heart is changed by the Holy Spirit. We read that in Romans 2, verse 29. If you study this and you look at this closely, there's not an in-between. It's an either-or. You're either serving sin or you are serving God. There's no neutral zone. There's no riding the fence. It's not that we can't sin, but it's we are freed from the slavery of sin. We now have the power to do what God wants us to do. Who are you serving? Bob Dylan wrote a song back in the 70s. After he chose to follow Christ, he was a singer and writer for years, and he chose to follow Jesus Christ, and he had a whole album about Slow Train Coming, I think, if that's the one. I think that's the one it was. Anyway, one of the songs on that was, "You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody." He got it right. Unfortunately, his fan club wasn't too pleased with it, and even John Lennon wrote a parody to make fun of Bob Dylan's new faith, and his was titled "Serve Yourself, Serve Yourself." Who are you serving? We determine We determine who we serve. Both Bob Dylan and John Lennon made a choice. Both will receive the reward or the consequence of their choice. We determine our choices, who we're going to serve, but we do not have the prerogative of choosing our paycheck. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who are you serving? The only currency the slave master of sin doles out is death and decay. And the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ come that you might have life in its fullest. Jesus Christ offers life, eternal life, and He gives it freely. He doesn't charge us for it. We don't have to earn it. It's freely given. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 5:24, No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you despise one and be dedicated to the other. You cannot serve God and be devoted to money or anything else as far as that's concerned. There is no middle ground. Who are you serving? You know, we choose. That choice is ours. We choose to offer ourselves as slaves to sin. That's the way we were born. We are already in that realm. Or we choose righteousness, which is obedience to God. The master of sin takes us down a road of slavery and slavery to our own selfish desires, and it leads to eternal doom, destruction along the way. Wreaks havoc on our lives and the lives of others around us. If we would only realize. We would only realize how serious this is. Should we go on sinning? Just because we can? We have that freedom. Should we go on sinning so that grace may get bigger, or that because we just can? Should we? No. No, thank you. The master of righteousness leads us on a road to purity and holiness, and ultimately